We all love robots, at least watching them in our favorite sci-fi movies. Some of us may have one or two of them running around the house cleaning up the dust on the floor. But right now, for most of us, a full-fledged humanoid is simply just a futuristic dream. Well, not unless Elon Musk has his way. The founder of SpaceX and CEO of Tesla wants to change that. I'm Jason Cipriani with my co-host, Jason Perlow. And we're going to discuss the future of consumer robotics on today's episode of Jason Squared. So, Perlow, robots, what do you think? Like them? Hate them? Have any?
So, I love robots, right? At least in the movies. You know, pick a sci-fi movie or TV show, and I can probably rattle off the name of a whole bunch of cool robots, right? Robots that help. Robots that work. Robots that talk and advise, tell jokes, and of course, robots that kill, right? I have my favorites for all of these, but that's the movies, right? Now, short of my shark vacuum cleaner, which is dumb as a rock, right? And totally harmless, right? In real life, robots scare the crap out of me. I mean, have you seen the videos from these Boston Dynamics demos? The heck would want one of these things running around the house interacting with your children?
Well, I mean, in theory, a robot would probably follow the rules better than any of my kids. So I'm not very opposed to it. But the Boston Dynamics videos are pretty insane. And I think most people have seen them. There's the dog with the arm that can unlock a door. I think my favorite video is the little... They're not human-like robots, but they walk on two legs. They don't look like a human, at least. But them learning how to jump across wide gaps. This video was released, I think, in the last couple of weeks. But it's all the failures of them falling and coming short. And it was just so interesting to watch, but at the same time, scary as hell, because these robots are learning on the fly how to navigate rough terrain. So today we're not here to talk about Boston Dynamics. We're here to talk about Elon Musk and Tesla and the robot, humanoid robot Elon Musk announced. So Perlow, what exactly did Tesla announce?
Well, you know, to be perfectly honest, you know, we didn't see a whole lot. Okay. What we saw was Elon get up on stage and talk about features and specifications for a new humanoid robot, the Tesla bot, that his company is going to release supposedly within the next several years, right? I say supposedly in quote boxes, right? He claims that they will have a prototype ready in a year. It'll weigh approximately 125 pounds, okay? Measure about 5'8" tall, so about as tall as my wife. Have a screen for a face and be designed to handle tasks that are unsafe, repetitive, or boring, okay? And it'll be able to carry about 45 pounds of goods at a time, deadlift about 150 pounds, and maybe carry about 10 pounds of weight with a single, if it extends its arm out and tries to pick up one thing, it can carry about 10 pounds of weight. So we're not talking about a super powerful robot, at least, not supposed to be something that can physically overpower most human beings. It's going to employ the very same technologies that Tesla's cars use for machine vision and AI and autonomous driving type of stuff, right? That's built into those cars, right?
Yeah, so this announcement was made at Tesla's... somewhat annual AI day, they use it, and they're very candid about it this year in using it as a recruiting event where they're trying to get people who are into machine learning and AI and now robotics and all the other stuff that it takes to run Tesla with batteries and whatnot. They want people to apply and work for them. And so part of that AI day this year, usually it's announcing stuff for full self-driving or self-driving cars. And this year they paraded out a random person who was in more or less a leotard.
That was a totally weird thing. That was just
this person walks up like a robot on stage, and it was a very, very awkward dance routine that was
done.
It felt
like an SNL skit. You know?
Yeah, it was straight out of SNL, and I watched the whole announcement again this morning before we started recording, just to refresh my memory, and I just. I just cannot get over how awkward that announcement was. But, you know, this is an entirely new product category for a company that's known for batteries, cars, and solar panels. And right. Like I said, the dance that person did, what the heck was that? You know, we do know there are some very basic renderings that look more or less like what the outfit that the person was wearing. And Musk did detail some stuff, like the number of actuators. For example, there's 12 actuators in each hand. There's 12 actuators in the legs. There's 2 in the torso, 12 in the arms, 2 in the neck. You know, so there's a lot of actuator stuff going on to help it move and hopefully give it some delicate, you know, maneuvers or whatever. But, and there's a screen. Instead of a face, there's a screen that supposedly will display useful information. But outside of the renders and this dancing actor that was completely, totally awkward, we don't know a ton. At a minimum, we do know that it's not going to be cheap at all. You know, Musk said he plans on it using the same Dojo AI system that Tesla's cars are going to use batteries that Tesla use.
Right.
And, you know, to me, this is not a product that is going to end up in homes. This is going to be strictly an enterprise product, at least anytime soon. And look, he said they probably will have a prototype in about a year. So if, you know, this changes all the time. So if I'm able to decipher Musk's timeline, we're probably looking at a prototype in 5 years. If we're just going off of his past, you know, full self-driving will be out by 2020 and we'll have 200,000 Tesla taxis. Like, full self-driving is nowhere close to being ready. And, you know, it's just, so Musk's timelines are very flexible, we'll say, if not just flat out
fluid. Fluid.
We're not going to have these in our homes anytime soon, but I think it's interesting to have this discussion and see, you know, not only what we think about robots, but what the future possibly could be for robots.
Yeah, I mean, robots are coming, right? It's just a question of when, right? And where are they going to use? But okay, let's assume Elon and Tesla pulls this off. Okay, let's say he can start volume production in 3 years. Where ideally would we want to see these things? Where are they going to show up, right? So, well, robots are already used in certain environments, right? Obviously, in automobile manufacturing, you know, last 20, 30 years, we've had robots in some forms in automobile plants, right? And also in semiconductor and consumer electronics manufacturing. Like, you know, companies like Foxconn have already been moving robotic assembly lines for things like the iPhone assembly for the last several years. And Amazon has been using a tremendous amount of robotics in their shipping centers to stock and pick and mail out goods to its customers. It's actually, I mean, I've seen some videos of these environments and they're truly, truly amazing what these things can do. And yes, we've seen the freaky Boston Dynamics robots, which are also targeted for specific applications such as industrial and military with surveillance and guard duty and things like that, right? So those applications already exist, but these are highly specialized systems that do not look like anything like people, right? And they're certainly not meant to be interfaced with around people like you and me, right? They aren't general purpose. They are programmed to do repetitive things in control loops with a bit of adaptation. Or clearly some like that Boston Dynamics are more sophisticated and they're a bit more adaptable to their environments, right? But the kind of robots we've seen around people most recently, at least in experimental or early adopter form, have been motorized serving trays at restaurants and bars, or, you know, things that are, you know, patrolling urban areas, you know, these like Weebly looking things that, you know, that move around. And, you know, parking lots and large retail environments to assist human security efforts, right? The Tesla is really the first that I've seen that isn't some cute demonstration platform like Asimo, right? Which Honda used to make. Remember Asimo, right?
You know, I don't.
It's this robot that they had that was human-sized, human-shaped, and it was nowhere near as sophisticated as like the Boston Dynamics, but they used them for demonstrations at various trade shows and things like that. And for Honda's, you know, automobile manufacturing robots business, they use it as a demo. But it is supposed to, this is supposed to exist in environments around people, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So just the top of my head of what the things we could see something like this doing, right? All right, so we're talking about repetitive tasks and harmful and dangerous areas, right? You can use these to administer COVID-19 tests and shots at clinics. Now, assuming these hands have enough finesse, right, and dexterity to operate a syringe and a testing kit, and people aren't frightened out of their minds to interact with one, even if a human being is behind the wheel someplace teleoperating it, right? I mean, teleoperation is a thing that you could definitely see them do this being used for.
Yeah, sure. This is what's going to get the people who refuse to get the vaccine right, to finally get the vaccine is that some robot.
Right. Shoving something up your nose, right?
I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole, but there is so much there. And it's a brilliant way to put this robot to work and not expose other people to potentially harmful stuff. But oh man, I can only imagine what Twitter would look like if this happened.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So let's address the shortage of workers, not just in the front of the house at restaurants. By the way, did you hear that like Chick-fil-A has had to close a whole bunch of stores in like Alabama and other states because they cannot find enough people to work? Now, if a company like Chick-fil-A, which is an expert at logistics and supply chain management and all this stuff, cannot get enough people to, and by the way, they pay their workers well. They're one of the better chains to work for. Whatever you think about their religion and all their other stuff and all that other stuff, they are one of the most effective fast food companies in the world when it comes to that kind of stuff. If they cannot get people to work at their restaurants, there is a problem.
Yeah.
We
went to Cold Stone last night. We were taking the kids out as a treat for ice cream. And we walk up and there are signs on the door saying they had to close early due to a shortage of staff. And this was at 5 o'clock. They're normally open till 10. And, you know, please apply for jobs.
People do not want to work for less than $15 an hour, right? But a robot, you don't have to pay a robot health insurance. You don't have to give them break time, any of that kind of stuff. But so, you know, workers, not just in the front of the house at restaurants, servers, but also in the kitchen itself doing more, I think, more simplistic prep and cleanup of dishes and stuff and possibly prepare fast food items. But I feel that even this is a stretch of the capabilities of a general purpose humanoid at this time. Now, I know companies like Starbucks and McDonald's have or are heavily investing in research. Millions and millions of dollars in research, hundreds of millions of dollars of research on robotic technologies to prepare these food items. But in this case, you know, these are robots that are more like the kind you see in a factory that are specialized in their design in kitchens that have been retrofitted for their use or have been designed for the ground up for them in stores of new configurations where people never come in contact with a human, are much more likely to be appropriate for putting, you know, for that type of purpose than for putting a Tesla robot in a kitchen designed for humans and to perform the work, right? So, yeah, I think we're going to see robots in restaurants, just maybe not the Tesla robot, right?
Right.
I also see robots working in law enforcement strictly in a patrol capacity in certain environments. Now, this is where we start to get into kind of a dystopian, scary sci-fi kind of an area, right? I think you could see them, if we're talking the Teslas, I could see them in shopping malls, in large sports venues and concert kind of things, where we're talking about something that performs a similar function to a drone, right? Which again is another type of robot that we're starting to see heavily in use, not just in military and law enforcement, but in other civilian applications. But on an on the ground, first person POV of the action, right? Where perhaps it'll be able to vocally interact with the people there, say, hey, you guys are getting too close to each other, or go this way to get online, whatever you have, these things are going to do. Of course, I think there will be a desire of certain governments, perhaps not U.S. federal regional governments, to arm these things with either lethal or non-lethal weapons, right? And I think that's where we need to be able to draw the line. So that's something I think we need to really think about, whether yeah. we want them in that kind of a role, right?
Yeah. During the Tesla bot announcement, Musk very clearly said that the Tesla bot, its intention is to be peaceful. And actually, they purposely are making it slow and somewhat small. Like, its top speed is 5 miles an hour. And that was by design so that if something was to go wrong, most people, yeah. and he said this in a very joking manner, most people would be able to outrun it or overpower it. But this, look, this is, you know, a huge part of the robot conversation, right? And basically what you were just saying is you want a RoboCop, and you talked about movies and robots that kill. I'm not quite sold if a law enforcement type robot is something that we need. Obviously they use robots to disarm bombs and stuff like that, but those right. are controlled. They don't have artificial intelligence. They don't think for themselves. I can see, you know, man, this is a complicated topic because
yeah.
it's repetitive stuff that the Tesla bot is supposed to be intended for. So like factory lines. While you were talking, I thought of when you go to a new airport or a shopping mall and you look for those screens that show where you're at and where stores are. What about a humanoid robot walking around that gives, you know, guidance to people and help them find places, or, you know, can get them help with actual mall security if they need it, or airport security, or whatever it is. And using artificial intelligence is interactable and having a conversation like you and I are having. But outside of that, what I really want to see is robots for the home that are adaptable. You know, while I was thinking about this episode, I do have a lot of robots already around my house. I have a couple, yeah. Not Roombas, but Roomba-like robots that are vacuums. Excuse me. I have another one for my swimming pool.
Yeah.
To clean the dirt off the floor. And ideally, I would want a robot that could mow my yard so I don't have to do that once a week. And I don't want to have five robots to do all these separate tasks. So really, I think, you know, to make this a hit, at least the consumer level, is a adaptable robot that can do more than one task, right? Now, we have task-specific robots now, and I think even at the enterprise level, having adaptable robots is something that'll push it forward. For example, I don't know if you've ever been in a Walmart and you've seen their stock robot. Have you seen this thing? Freaked me out the first time I saw it. It is a giant tower with I don't know how many cameras and very, very bright LED lights. And what it does, instead of someone going up and down the aisle, scanning outages with their gun and marking them with like a blue label or whatever, or a blue dot, which is how it used to be done, this robot slowly scans the aisles and takes pictures. And where there's outages, it scans the barcode and it reports, you're out of this food, this needs stocked, you know, and then it adjusts the reorder amount and whatnot. And this thing moves maybe 1 mile per hour. And if it bumps into something, if I remember correctly, there's an announcement like, sorry, excuse me, something like that. I've seen it a few times in the store. And that's a one-purpose robot as well. But if you had something that was able to not only do that, but say clean the floor or actually bring the stock out and put it back on the shelf if it's in the back room. I mean, those are the kind of things that I think would be invaluable to enterprise and big companies instead of just these single task devices, which is effectively what they are.
Yeah, I mean, and I think about, you know, does it make sense for someone like me? Like, let's assume we had something that cost, I don't know, $5,000, even $10,000, right? I mean, the things that we're talking about, potentially Tesla coming out with, we don't know what these things are cost. They could be $30,000, $50,000, $100,000, $200,000. We don't know what these things, I mean, it's sky's
the limit, right? They're going to be a lot.
People like you and me are not going to be able to afford them, okay? But let's assume we could get them down to levels of affordability. You know, I currently employ a lady that comes to my house once a week. In fact, she's coming today. She cleans the floor. She cleans the bathroom. She folds laundry. She cleans the kitchen surfaces. I leave bottles of crap out on my bar. She cleans the coffee machine. All kinds of things that she does. You know, and I pay her, I don't know, like 60, 70 bucks a week or something like that to do it. You know, theoretically, I might think about buying a robot to do this instead of work, instead of employing a person. You know, who I know that, and I know that she, you know, these people who do repetitive tasks, they hurt themselves. They have repetitive injuries. You know, they're working with chemicals and stuff for cleaning that they can get allergies to and stuff. You know, it's not a great job for people. Right. So I potentially could see doing that. You know, I got a dog clipper guy that comes over to the house and he handles the dogs. Now, listen, maybe I can get someone maybe they can program a robot to clip poodles. I don't know. Maybe the guy that does my lawn and all the other stuff, maybe they can make a robot intelligent enough to do lawn work and you know, clip, trim the hedges and do all those other things that guy does. We need to understand the programmatic limits of what these things can do before we start worrying too much about the ethics of and capabilities of employing these things in different scenarios, right? So, like, I mean, if we're talking about Tesla, right? Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of the systems are going to be very locked down, right? Just like the cars are very locked down, right? So modifying them to be able to operate different tools, right? Or even something like a weapon we were talking about earlier, right? That's designed originally for human beings to carry. Like, we're talking about, like, whether it's, you know, we're not just talking about guns. We're talking about, like, if we're talking about yard work, you know, there are different tools that, like, gardeners will use and stuff that are designed for people, right?
Sure.
I suspect that programming them to be able to use some of these things is going to be restricted in some way, right? And I guess is that they will have some of the ML and AI capabilities of the cars, which, you know, I think they'll be able to process information closer to what these cars are currently doing from an autonomous standpoint, right?
Yeah, Musk said they can do that, and they'll actually be able to label objects that they can see, so they'll know the difference between orange and a banana.
Right, and so we know that the autonomous driving feature on the Tesla cars today has a lot to be desired, right? We haven't gone to full auto, full autonomy doesn't really exist on that car today, right? No. So, but of course, and we're talking about the local capabilities of that processing system, right? Now, of course, if these robots have wireless networking capabilities, 5G, you know, Wi-Fi, 5G, they could have extended processing or intelligence run out of a cloud data center, which would be a lot more power than the localized CPU in a Tesla car. So
sure.
Who knows what kind of decision making these things are going to have, or if they're just going to be more of a teleoperated device, right? With drone with hands that can walk around. I definitely see teleoperation being something that is where you would want to deploy robots in dangerous areas. Like if you have a major infected area, right, with COVID-19, you don't want people necessarily walking around in hazmats and KN95s, right? I mean, that makes total sense. Or a forest fire area, right? You don't want people running around in 190 degree temperatures, right? I mean,
yeah. Or even a nuclear power plant. Look what happened in Japan a few years ago with the earthquake.
Exactly.
A humanoid robot that could go in and open doors and inspect stuff and all live stream back, whether it's to a display, you know, that someone's sitting in front of, or a VR headset that, you know, they're using to control it, would be invaluable instead of putting, you know, human lives at risk going into areas like that. Even today, there's, you know, a huge section of that area that is still highly radioactive that the humans cannot safely enter without, you know, protective gear. So something like this would be perfect for that type of environment.
Yeah. I mean, I guess really what we need to better understand is programmatic environment, right? Because we know the actuators, the robotics part of robots, we've seen how sophisticated they can be, right? We've seen the Boston Dynamics. We've seen other companies' robots walk and jump and run and do all these things, and we can see them do sophisticated tasks with manipulators and hands and tools and things like that. The real question to me is, what's the programmatic development environment for this, and how sophisticated are the awarenesses of these things to be able to do stuff by themselves, as opposed to being something you drive, right? you know, drivable robots, things that are teleoperated, teleoperation. Yeah, that's something that could, that's totally doable today. The question is, you know, if we start thinking about autonomy and these things being able to make their own decisions on the fly, right? Not just control loops, right? Where something is, you know, a factory or a stock floor in an Amazon center where, you know, you have these today, these aisles of closely packed goods, right? You know, that are all labeled with, you know, barcodes or RFID tags or whatnot. And these robots can race down these narrow hallways that are packed and very tall, that human beings, you know, realistically would not be able to operate in, right? Sure. They run down these, you know, they're on these rails, right? So they can fly up and down these aisles, going up and down these stocking, you know, pallets. And pull stuff off of pallets and shelves really fast. And then, you know, bring them down to the shipping area where they can package them and ship them out, bam, with very little human intervention into this process, right? I mean, you need engineers on site to help fix them and whatnot. But for the most part, you know, these are the type of locations that can be, you know, 80 or 95% robotic, right? Those we can see, you know, and those, but those have very defined parameters for how these things operate, right? And when you start getting into more environments that are, that people have been in, that, you know, we have to make on the cuff decisions about things. You know, if you're in a supermarket or something and you need to stock up, I don't know, potatoes or in the vegetable section, you're working with fine motor skills or whatever. Those are things that, you know, I think we haven't been able to really see that yet.
You know? No, not at all. So I guess why don't we close out on this?
Yeah.
10 years from now, Tesla Bot exists. Price is down somewhat consumer level-ish. And it is a completely AI ML designed humanoid robot for the home.
Wow. Okay.
Are you buying one? And if so, how much are you willing to pay?
I don't know if I'm going to be the first customer. I think I eventually will want one as I get older. And you know, I think for the elderly, something like this could be fantastic. I would say between $10,000 and $20,000. Depending on the you know, the lifetime. I would expect that the lifetimes of things would be at least as much as a car, if not more. Sure. You know, I don't expect these things to be completely outdated after 5 years. I would hope that some of the capabilities are modular, or more of the intelligence is based in the cloud than localized, so that, you know, they have some a longer lifetime to do these more sophisticated
tasks. You have to do a processor upgrade on your Tesla Bot. It's all done in the cloud. You never know about it.
Hopefully.
Okay. Yeah. So I think my price limit would probably be, let's say it can do all the stuff I mentioned earlier, clean the pool, vacuum, mow the yard, but also like shovel snow or let the dogs in and out when they're scratching at the door. Like all the random annoying things that are just part of everyday living, you know, if it's able to do this, detect it and do it on its own, 10 to 15,000, and I would happily be the first customer. I mean, bugs and all, you know, you know, there's going to be some pretty fun beta testing once these things, if these things ever get to a point where they're ready to roll out into a house. But I think it would be a lot of fun to have around and you know, experience. If for nothing else, it'd be great content to write about.
I don't know. You see, there's going to be definitely some adaptability of living with one of these things. Because, like, you know, as it is, you know, when things go bump in the night, you know, I get a little freaked out as it is. You know, some squirrel or something, you know, knocks out something, and then suddenly the lights go on outside. But it's the idea that this thing could be walking around and working and doing stuff at hours where people aren't around necessarily is a bit freaky, right? Like at 4 o'clock in the morning, look, at 2 o'clock in the morning, Rachel has the shark programmed to leave its docking unit and clean up the bar and the kitchen. I sometimes hear it, you know, at 2-3 o'clock in the morning going around because I have the bedroom door, you know, shut, and it's confined to that area with those strips that keep it from leaving. Sure. that right? So I get freaked out when I hear that, and sometimes the dogs will wake up late at night and start barking at it. But the idea of a fully humanoid robot that could walk around at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, I don't know. I wouldn't want it coming into my bedroom suddenly checking up on us or something. I don't know. I
yeah. There's a lot of that stuff to work out. Thankfully, we have a very long time to work that kind of stuff out. And people like me are willing to beta test that, then, hey, you know, I think it'll come a little bit quicker than that way. Like I said, I'm all for it. I'm all for a humanoid in the house as long as it has some AI ethics, I guess, we'll say, programmed into it. That was a fun episode, Jason. Thanks for talking to me about this one. I look forward to our dystopian future, no matter how it shapes up to be.
Same here, Jason. Same
here. I'm Jason Cipriani.
And I'm Jason Perlow.
And this is Jason Squared. Make sure to check out more of our work at ZDNet.com.